My guess is that when you heard Alan play that song, the way he played that song, it carried you someplace other than church. I hope that when you were where you were, when you heard music like that, you were willing to tell the story. Loving God, we do have a story to tell to the nations. A story that will turn our hearts to the right. It's a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. Lord God, as I read the scripture and as we proclaim your story, as we proclaim your story in us, may we be moved and encouraged to tell our story to the community and to the nations. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Psalm 78, verses 1 through 4. I invite you to follow along as I read. This morning I'll be reading from Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message. And may God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. Listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsel of a proverb, of a parable. I'll let you in on the secret, the sweet old truths. Stories we've heard from our fathers, counsel we've learned at our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he has done. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Everybody likes a good story, don't we? I do. Now, if I'm reading stories, me being who I am, the literary giant, I like short stories. I wish all the books in seminary had been short stories. It would have made life a lot easier. We like a lot of good stories, and when I think of long stories or books that are really long, I asked Alan, I asked Dennis and people around the church this week, when you think of a long book, what book do you think of? They think of War and Peace, right? Tolstoy wrote it, translation into English, 560,000 words. But it does not hold a candle to the longest book in English. L. Ron Hubbard wrote a book entitled Mission Earth that has 1.2 million words. Now, I can tell you, I'm not going to read it. Because when I started thinking about that, it reminded me of a joke where it was a little boy, and he had a mother who loved to talk. And I know there's no other little boy who has a mother that loves to talk, but this poor little boy had a mother who liked to talk more than anything else in the world. And so one day, the little boy goes into the den to ask his dad a question. His dad was watching a football game. It wasn't one that was on yesterday. But he wanted to ask him a question. He said, Dad, I need to ask you a question. He asked the question. The dad said, very quickly, in about three words, answer the question. Started watching the game again. The little boy asked another question, and his dad answered it just as quick. The little boy asked another question. He said, Son, can't you really just go ask your mother? And he said, Dad, I really don't want to know that much. You see, we really like stories. We really like a good story, and every story has certain things. It has different same of components in them. There are characters. There's a setting. There's a plot. There's conflict, and there's resolution. I was reading some work about stories this past week, and they said every good story has these elements. You first have a character that is the hero. And there has to be something in the story that draws you to like that person. And then that one character has a problem. And when that problem is introduced, then they introduce a second character that becomes a guide. And then that guide proposes a solution to the problem. They then begin to work on the solution to the problem, and then you have an outcome, either a success or a failure. Every story has that. Every good story. So I hope today we hear some good stories. That's what we're here to do, is hear good stories. I'm reading a book right now by Donald Miller. It's entitled 1,000,000 Miles in 1,000 Days. In one of the chapters, he's telling a story about himself. At one point in his life, he lived in a neighborhood, and he would walk about a mile to work every day to his office where he would write. And he was working on a novel one time, and what the subject was is not important, but he said he would get up in the morning, and as he was eating breakfast, he would think about his characters. And as he would walk to work, he would think about the dialogue, the conversations these people would have, and what they would go and do, and how it would advance the story. And he would get to work, and then he would sit down at his computer, and it never failed. The characters never did what he wanted them to do. They would do what they wanted to do. He said he was writing, and he had already figured out he had a character that was going to go to Kansas City and get a job. Well, when he started sitting down and typing out how this guy was going to get to Kansas City, right in the middle of going to Kansas City, the guy decided he's going to Mexico and ends up on a beach drinking margaritas. He said the characters never do what you want them to do, and so you have to erase and go back because he's killing your story. And so he starts typing again, and then the character does what he wants to do, and it's not advancing the story. In the midst of his characters not behaving, he started thinking about God, the master storyteller. He could imagine God sitting at his computer having this wonderful story, but the characters not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And he said, I don't know how God feels. My characters don't do what they're supposed to do either. And then one day he figured out that that voice he hears is God telling him what he's supposed to do. But that's not what he really wants to do. So he told God, he said, God, I know that you want me to do this, but I really want to be rich, I want to be comfortable, and I want to have a lot of sex in the process. I'm just telling you what the book said. That's what he said. Read chapter 15 of the book. And that's what he said. And he said, but that's not what God wants me to do. And then he realized that when he would listen to the small voice of God telling him what to do, his story got better. The story of his life was changed to be something better than he could ever make of it. And the more he listened to the voice of God, his story got better and better and better. That's what happens to us, isn't it? Because what I know in my life, I get confused. But God's not confused at all. God is not confused about what is good and what is evil. God is not confused when we get into the gray area and all of a sudden something can either be beautiful or profane. God knows the difference. And we will know the difference too when we listen to God. The beautiful thing about telling a story, our story here at Kingswood, is that we have times in our lives, in the life of this church, where the people have listened to the voice of God, and it's made all the difference in their lives.
I love to tell the story. More wonderful it seems than all.
Author J.K. Rowling, creator of the Harry Potter stories, has said, "There's always room for a story that can transport people to another place." Such as the story of Kingswood, a story of promise and fulfillment, possibility and reality, challenge and triumph. It's told by dreamers and visionaries, and even ordinary people responding to extraordinary circumstances and challenges. It's a community of individual stories woven together to tell a larger story that's fashioned by the master storyteller. But is it a story I need to hear? Is it relevant to who I am and how I live? Does it have anything to say about the fears that I face or the dreams that I hold? Will it indeed move me to another, better place?
Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love Him with all that's in you. Love Him with all you've got. Write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you, and then get them inside of your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates.
Growing up, especially in a happy home, you tend to believe that things will always be the way they are. But the world changes. It's smaller. Things move at an incredible speed, and all sorts of ideas are thrown at our children at an early age. As a young kid going to church, it was easy for me to take for granted the grown-ups who taught Sunday school and led vacation Bible school, things that I really enjoyed doing that made church fun for me. When you have children and bring them to church, you really appreciate all the time, energy, patience, and love that so many adults put into the children's programs to make church rewarding for them. We started coming to Kingswood when our older daughter was 2. She's in college now. And I still remember the warm welcome we received from her preschool Sunday school teacher. All through the years, with Sunday school, Little Angels, John Wesley Choir, Vacation Bible School, and now youth, our kids have been surrounded by so many wonderful adults who have taught them, encouraged them, loved them, and truly been examples of what a Christian is. Having such a supportive group of people who have helped us train our children up in the way they should go is one of the things I treasure most about Kingswood.
My parents have been bringing me to Kingswood ever since I was a baby, and I didn't really realize how many people had loved and supported me along the way, until confirmation a few years ago. During confirmation, I started to realize that faith is not a solo act. In the Bible, the Lord says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." Kingswood is one of the places I look for God. I expect to find Him here. And I do.
Kingswood is an important element in our family's story. It has strengthened the connection between Jeff and I and our daughters and provided a strong connection for our children to their future.
We must hold tightly to the hope that we say is ours. After all, we can trust the one who made the agreement with us. We should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and do helpful things. Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer.
So, as I consider the changes that have occurred during just my lifetime, it seems to me that science and technology have helped us achieve such great things that mankind doesn't really see the need to hold on to the notion of God. We've become the creator. If it can't be explained through science and technology, it doesn't exist. And belief in a higher power, you know, one who is the creator, is seen as a weakness. But there's always been that, and I think always will be, that yearning for a spiritual life. We still hunger for those places of refuge and that connection to the mystery of the divine. It's that sense of what we call soul and spirit, a sense of eternity. We don't create that, and we don't control that. If you consider the vast expanse of our universe and its infinite complexity, you begin to see the unseen hand of your Creator. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said to the church in Rome that the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes and there it is. And by taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of God's divine being. So, how do I personally connect to that power and that presence? I connect by moving towards God, and I experience God moving towards me. And that comes through worshiping a God whose love and mercy is as powerful as his strength and might. A God holding out the promise of a life that is beyond anything that I could imagine or even dream of. And I present my own unique individual self, just as I am, and God receives me. And I don't take that journey alone, but rather surrounded by others, loving God and loving me as God loves me, and experiencing God's love together. Every service at Kingswood, we all bring our individual stories to be woven into God's story. And Kingswood, for me, opens the door into the presence of God so that together we enter.
Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble.
When my son and I relocated to Atlanta from Chicago, I had no idea what my next step would be. I knew I needed to find a preschool for my son, but my choices were limited because of transportation and funds. But when I narrowed it down to two choices, I decided, you know, I'm gonna let my 2.5-year-old son make the final decision. And he chose Kingswood. So shortly after he joined preschool, and we ended up joining Kingswood Church. And I thought, oh Lord, thank you for using my son. Kingswood has been my best church experience ever. I've been a part of so many ministries and denominations, well, except Methodist. And I thought, Methodist? Lord, you really switched up on me big time this time, didn't you? But God knew what I needed. He knew what I needed. When I arrived in Atlanta, I came here and emotionally drained, mentally stressed, physically fatigued, visually impaired single mom in poor health. And we needed love, we needed family. We were alone. And I tell you, Kingswood, they adopted us. When we needed love and that unconditional comforting love, Kingswood drenched us. In fact, even when I moved into, finally got a new apartment, Kingswood even moved us. I thought, wow, this list goes on. Because I can't drive anymore. And MARTA was not helping me much. So when I needed to get places, Kingswood members would actually, they would actually come and pick us up and take us to and fro. I thought, oh my God, what a support system. You know, I'm so grateful. I ask the Lord all the time, Lord, please, please, help me to be a blessing to this ministry. Help me support this ministry. Use me in this ministry, my church. And I tell you, it's been a wonderful experience. I implore every Dunwoody resident to come and experience Kingswood. It's not like you don't happen to be in the neighborhood, but good things are happening here. Good things are happening here. I believe God is about to take Kingswood to another dimension in Him. And I'm so grateful to be a part. And I implore you to come join us, because I tell you, I love me some Kingswood.
Where does the Kingswood story end? Have we been transported in the way that Ms. Rawlings says a good story will do? Has the story been told to all that God intends to hear? Well, the answers lie within each of us. The Kingswood story builds a bridge to our future. It reaches and draws in those in our community whose own stories need to be heard. And it connects us all to God, the master storyteller, who wants all to hear His story of love, redemption, grace, and eternity. It is the ultimate happily ever after story.
I'll tell the wonderful story of mercy, grace, and love.
Most of our stories join the Kingswood story when we joined the church or when we were baptized. When we were baptized, we joined in the story of God, and we have a great story together. It's interesting, one of my favorite songs is a song that I learned that y'all do and sing at baptisms. I was there to hear your morning cry. I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you're old. I was there the day you were baptized. I rejoiced the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. It's a wonderful story. In the midst of that baptismal service, we, the congregation, we proclaim that we will live the life of Christ, surrounding the person and the people who are joining the church with God's steadfast love. It would be great if every day looked like the day you were baptized or joined the church. It would be filled with joy and excitement. But we know every day is not that way. You see, some days there's a crisis. Some days it rains all day. Some days start off in this bright sunshine, and before you know it, there's lightning striking and thunder rolling. Days when you hear these words, you hear words like, "Your services are no longer needed." You hear the words, or you say the words, "It's over. I'm leaving. I want a divorce." You hear words that hurt. Words that leave you in a place where you don't know where to turn or who to turn to. You hear a phone call that says, "Someone that you love dearly is dead or has died." And it's in that moment when we, the congregation, living like Christ, surrounding someone with steadfast love, can allow you, their story to become your story and my story to become your story. And you see, the beauty of that is, this is a story that has to be told, because it's the good news of Jesus Christ. We, many of us, know that story. We've experienced that story in the here and now, in this place. But it's a story that the children who come to the Kingswood School need to hear, and their parents need to hear. And their story needs to become our story, and their story, our story, and our story, their story. The kids that come and play in the Community Life Center basketball and whatever else we're teaching and all the things that we have going on that end of the building, their story needs to be part of our story as well. We do have a story to tell to the nations. It is a story of redemption and peace and love. You see, God has a better story for all of us than we can write ourselves. He has a better story for those who live in our community than they can write themselves. We just need to be a part of it. Today, we were passing out information for our capital campaign, our stewardship campaign, the Capture the Prize Together. Because within all of that information is the hope that our story and the story that God wants all of us to live will be made possible in greater ways. It's my prayer that as we move into this campaign, we will all work to listen to the master storyteller so that his story will become all of our story. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may our story be the story that you want to tell as individuals and as a church. Not just for us, not just for those we love, but to this community and to the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.